Hey everyone, welcome to our wonderful podcast, the Music Addict Podcast, of course, with myself, Tom McDonough, and my co-host, Mark Taylor. I didn't make Mark say his name this time. I'll flip this up so he gets confused at times.
You thought I'd been drinking.
Yeah, exactly. This week, our guest is Griffin Tucker. I've known Griffin for a very long time. Remember seeing him in his obviously many of you probably saw him in his he's been on all the obviously the music related shows, but his one of his most famous ones was the American Idol one. Amazing. He is definitely ahead of his time in music.
He was just a kid too, right? I mean, he was just a kid, really young.
Yeah, and he's come a long way and extremely uber talented, and just I just having conversations with him is amazing. And knowing him for so many years and seeing him grow has been great. So it's been a good thing seeing him go along in his music career. If anyone I thought was going to ever be somebody in music, I always thought it's going to be him, because he has the talent. Talent.
Quite a charisma. Musician.
Yeah.
And great head on his shoulders. I mean, he's the kind of artist that if I were making young artist study a young artist, it would be him.
Yeah. Well, who's doing it right, how they're doing it, what the thought process behind it, the music creation to the actual execution of the music. Can't argue there.
I mean, we both know that a hit song is, 90% magic, but he's putting in the work. He's doing things the right way. So, I hope everything goes well for this kid.
Yeah, me too. He's got definitely a bright future here in 2024 and 2025. I expect some really great music out of him. And I expect he will be on our panel, which we were discussing a little few minutes ago, on our panel at the end of the year that we're going to do is talk the round table for 2024 about in the music industry.
Yeah.
Be great to have him on that. I look forward to that. I look forward to all the things we do. Of course, our newsletter will be coming out in the next couple of weeks for March. We have obviously we get this podcast episode and a couple more coming out pretty soon, right on top of each other. So we got some good stuff coming to you. It's been great what we've had so far. I've loved all our guests. If you haven't checked out what we do, make sure you check out musicaddict.org.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for Music Addict. I mean, and we haven't even talked about the upcoming awards. I mean, this is a great time with Music Addict.
Yes, we have our upcoming Music Awards in December. We have six categories. We started out very simple and strong and trying to cover what we could cover and making it easy as possible to undertake and then grow. And you don't jump into something and make 25 categories and expect to grow. I rather start simple and get and grow from there. But there's six categories for up and coming artists and indie artists, or independent, or even those that are signed. I'm okay with either direction, how it is in submissions. And of course, we have our four categories in the Hall of Fame. So I look forward to all that and what we do this year. I think some of the Hall of Fame ones are going to be quite interesting. I'm assuming we're probably going to see a lot of, big iconic artists from the past in the Hall of Fame. But I kind of wanted to, I think I like to see where we're going to go with that. Of course, it's voted on by our staff at Music Addict. Everyone has a musical background. So it's definitely awards given by people who have are in the industry. I'm very pleased about that. And I look forward to all the things we do, and let alone what you do at your studio every day, Mark. I mean, in the last 6 months, the studio's definitely got a lot more busier.
It's been a good time over at Idin Chicago. They've people are really trying to come out there. A lot of them have a voice. There's things that they're trying to say that are different than just the normal rapping about, drugs, sex, and guns. I mean, I've really had some people coming in that are renewing my love of the game. They've really had some things to say, and I always enjoy that.
It's always good to see artists going out and putting a positive spin in the music.
Oh, real quick, shout out to the big concert we just had in Michigan.
Oh,
shout
yes.
out to Buddy Miles. I mean, that was a great turnout. I wish we had some video. That was a great show.
We do actually have some video, and it's going to go up on Music Addict We have
That's outstanding.
So we have two clips that will show up on Music Attic this week. So right after this episode airs, it will be up. So you guys can check that out. There's some pretty good couple clips of that. There's bigger video of it coming. They're sorting through and editing it and making it solid. That'll come out shortly as well in the next couple of weeks. So yeah, great turnout. Big shout outs to our business partner, Mark Cassa, and all his work he did to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mark, I've known him for a lot of years. It's always so funny because if I yell Mark, at least one of the two of them will answer.
But do we have to now call him Grammy nominated every time we mention him?
Yeah, we must mention Mr. Grammy nominated. Mark Cassa.
Yes. Both yell when you yell Mark, he goes, "Oh, did you mean Grammy nominated?"
Yep, exactly. I love Mark. So we had a lot of exciting things happen. There's a lot of exciting news, obviously, the upcoming which we were just discussing, the TikTok potential ban coming. That's political in most sense. I can see that coming from a mile away, but that's
Once UMG pulled all their music,
you knew
there was something going on.
Yep. So it is what it is, and there'll be something else will take its place eventually. After one door closes, another one opens. Of course, you see some music catalogs changing hands. Last year alone, there's been some changes. But
just big catalogs.
Big catalogs. So it's an interesting and very unique period in time in history and music. So definitely we will stay on top of it. We have some great reviews coming in the next couple of weeks out of Music Attic. We have a great dedicated staff that does that. On top of what we do with the podcast, on top of the rewards, on top of the newsletter, on top of, everything else we do.
Right.
On top of the island recordings. We have a lot that's in play that we like to do. But someone like we like to talk to artists like Griffin, who have such the passion for music. And that is one of the things that we love. Mark and myself, I know, have a big passion for music.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, at our age, you don't do this unless you just love the music, man. It's in us. We can't stop. So we might as well talk about it.
Exactly. Otherwise, what are we going to talk about? Baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
And the Lions.
Lions, yes.
So close.
Go Lions. And it and it looks so good because they're coming in with the fifth most, salary cap of availability for their salary cap. So they have the most money, fifth most money going into the free agency here. I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Well done.
Go Lions. Maybe this year will be the Super Bowl.
Oh, now.
Can you believe I even say that out loud? Who would have ever heard believe this? You said that 5 years ago. Well, it would have been like you'd have been joking. It'd have been like the Bears had a better chance 5 years ago of being into this.
That's just uncalled for.
It's funny to see that the Bears have gone from super, stardom to their struggles as of late. But I also believe the Bears are coming into this season probably in the best shape going into the draft and the ability to pick up free agents than they ever been. So I think this team will turn around.
Well, you get the number one pick 2 years in a row. You should do.
Yes, and you trade it off and get a whole bunch of draft capital for it. And look what you did. You get the number one pick again. That is that was unheard of. But I do believe they'll use it this time, and we'll have to take bets on what the first number one overall pick will be, either Caleb Williams or Marvin Harris Jr. Or Joe Alt. There's some really good potentials, three potentials there, but it's been going – the mock drafts are insane.
They are. They are, man. But, always excitement and, like Music Addicts, like the music, is always something to talk about, man.
Exactly. We always get some good things with music. And if you're an up-and-coming artist, make sure sign up for our newsletter. It's free. And we put tips of the trade in every month. And all back issues are on the page for the sign-up.
Absolutely.
So, definitely check them out because we're trying to help people empower and take over their careers and help their careers further. I like to see everyone succeed in music.
Yeah, it's so tough now because labels don't really do artist development like they used to. So so many people out there just don't know where to go get information.
Yeah, so more Motown.
As we can. Yeah.
No more the way it was, with that way they developed. And it is, and I get it. It's a constraint, and money constraint is much tougher than it was.
Absolutely.
Money changed different ways. But yeah, I agree. It's tough, but we are trying to do as best we can to help artists understand their careers and be able to help them succeed in many areas that they may not know.
Absolutely.
Maybe they do know and just need reaffirmation of that being said. You're right. There's too many sources in the industry that are not always in the right direction for them.
Right.
So I have to say, without further ado, let's go on to our interview with Griffin.
All right. See you on the other side.
Hey, it's time. I'd like to welcome our guest, Griffin Tucker. Now, Griffin, again, I've done this a couple times with you. I will say it. You are beyond talented for anybody, one in your age group, to anybody I probably know in my age group. So you are beyond talented. So thank you for coming on.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Tom. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's always a blast getting to talk with you.
So they overuse the term prodigy. You know, everybody's a prodigy, but not only were you a prodigy, but your voice was years ahead. When people heard you sing, everyone's like, wow, what an old soul. I mean, your voice, when I heard it, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I weren't looking at the screen, I'm like, well, he's got to be 40. You know, it was just, for your age, it was just so rounded and full. Like I say, man, prodigy. I truly enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, when I was on The Voice, the judges, nobody turned around, but when they did, they were like, oh my gosh, you're 14. You sounded like you were much older, but had no idea what heartbreak even meant. And I was like, well, yeah, I was 14. I had no idea what heartbreak really felt like. But they were like, well, you do have a voice that's somewhere in there. You just gotta live a little bit more life to really feel what the song like Heartbreak Hotel is about. But I have heard that my voice is, I guess I just had that kind of like, I hear that old soul, like that term used.
Yeah.
And it definitely is. Now, on top of that, okay, from today's most modern artist, now we know there's a ton of music being released each day from a ton of different artists from across the board. We see at Music Addict, because of the campaign that we do, we see thousands of artists every 90 days, hear them, plus the record labels, all the stuff. I can tell you for a fact, not many of these artists, one, can sing as well, two, can play a instrument as well, let alone you play, last I recall, it was seven, I thought, but I don't know how many instruments you can truly play. And if I remember correctly, you're pretty good at almost all.
Well, I start on drums. Drums was my first love, and you never forget your first love. I still go back to them quite often. But I play drums, guitar, bass, keys. So I'm just kind of lumping, piano, keys, blah, blah, blah. But I also play ukulele, mandolin. What else is there? Like the auxiliary percussion, like timpani, like marimba, stuff like that. What else do I play? Like harmonica? I don't know. I mean, there's like the silly ones like harmonica and record and whatnot, but like most of the big ones.
Now, you understand that most artists today, modern artists that are in your age group, do not play any instruments. And this is one of the things that I've said was the reasoning why, if you look at the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, and the 90s was starting to shift there. But if you look at all that music back then, I mean, take Kiss, Queen, Blondie, and looking at these and comparing these artists, the Beatles, all these compared to what we have today in modern artists, you're going to see a shift in how artistry is done. But I still believe the true artistry is someone who understands music, understands major and minor notes, that people can read sheet music, understand how concepts of everything comes together, as well as understanding song, that one, they understand what a bridge is. And I know Mark's going to make a comment here about the bridge.
And, well, Tom's the king of bridges. I mean, he can't write a song without a bridge. And I'm like, Tom,
they don't do that anymore.
Yes, every timeless song that ever came along has a bridge in it. Just saying.
Yeah, I guess the thing with, you know, the way the music industry was back, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s versus now is that it's so much harder now to be truly, truly like the best writer, the best singer, the best instrumentalist in whatever instrument that is. It's like nowadays there's all these specialists with the extra S. But back in the day, like, it was really like an anomaly when there was somebody who could do, who could write, who could sing, who could produce. Like, I was just watching something on Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson played bass for the Beach Boys. He sang all those high parts. He wrote all those songs, you know, all the music for like Pet Sounds and you know, albums like that. And he produced it. And like that was really like even more crazy than it is now, because music, you know, they were still blazing that trail. But now, I mean, like, you know, all the best songs or the best pop songs that are getting written today are written by, you know, at least a few writers, you know, and it just, you know, then you get the best singer for that song and you pair it with, you know, pair the singer with the song. And it's not so much the authentic, the person who writes it, sings it, like most of those bands that you mentioned.
Yeah. And of course, going into studio, you know, that was a thing back then, going into studio, going through the whole album and coming out with a story behind that, even just the making of it. Today, it's a lot different. But back to my original point about your being able to do all these things, this, in my opinion, sets you apart from many of these other artists, because many of them will not be able to compete with you in a setting to where you, in musical conception, they're going to struggle where you're going to thrive at. And I think that's a rarity in today's day and age. I agree. Brian Wilson did phenomenal things with what, speaking of that, what you mentioned there, he did phenomenal things. I mean, yeah, the guy was uber talented at the time. And then look at his two daughters. I mean, they were uber talented too. And it is just an interesting facet of how that back then everyone was involved in the whole process, where today it's most people are going to hand, you're right, paired songs, hand it to them and then move onwards. And before, there were some personal things with the songs. I think that personal aspect is now moving out of it, versus where, you know, where we had it back then. So I think that there is some disconnect on that in modern music. I know, Mark, I know you got something to say on that.
Well, you know, here's, and again, I said old soul. What do you think draws you to like keeping rock and roll alive? Because it's your sound is so reminiscent to bands that, you know, you have to look back with nostalgia, but you're breathing new life into it. I mean, you had to be, what were you, a Zeppelin fan or Beatles fan?
I love both. They're actually my top two. It's Beatles, Zeppelin, and Queen.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it sort of a personal mission to help keep the sound of rock alive? Or is it just something that's in you? It's just something you love, so it's kind of what you do.
I mean, I was really raised on that music. So in a sense, it's just kind of been ingrained into, like, that's just the way I think, the way that I just like the stuff that just like clicks for me. Whereas, like, I wouldn't say that it's so it's so particular. Like, for instance, I've wanted to write a little bit of blues, a little bit of funk, a little bit of, you know, like jazz, even like I like experimenting with different things that I hear. I'm very much a sponge for what is around me, what's getting played, and like everything I'm hearing is just like, you know, what is that, how can I interpret that in my own, you know, in my own art, in my own music. But I guess the thing with rock is that it's so authentic, and even though there are certain types of rock that are very much just like, well, it's overdriven guitars, it's big drums, like that's just the way that that genre is. Rock can also be so broad in a sense, but throughout all those different, you know, like there's soft rock, there's hard rock, there's psychedelic rock, there's surf rock, you know, there's all the different kinds of rock, but at the end of the day, there's some sort of authenticity that comes across, whether it's playing the instruments, the way you play the instruments, you know, the way it's sung, the subject matter, even like there's just something that kind of common thread throughout all different kinds of rock that has always drawn me closer to it.
No, well, you have two fans here.
Yeah.
So we're right there with you. I applaud you, especially at your age. And, you know, you got two. I'm over half 100. So is Tom. So you got two guys here that are just so happy that people are still trying to keep rock alive, man. Now, I'm going to take you way back now. I know you've been doing music for life, but do you remember when you really got the bug, when you really were like, no, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, I remember the first time I was like, that looks fun. That is like, I want to try doing that. Was I had a DVD of the Beatles' first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I saw Ringo, and Ringo, it just looks like the jolliest, like just the happiest little bean that could ever hop behind a drum set, just like, you know, buttering the bread, washing the windshield, just wagging his head around. It's just like, he looks like he's having fun. I want to try that. And I get to, like, you know, just be hitting things. It looks so simple. And of course, now I just love getting all the intricacies and in the details. But that was just something that I was like, I want to try that. And then, you know, it became like, well, I want to create. And so that's where I started kind of wanting to get into piano and then guitar and then singing some more. So my interest with music have always been evolving, but it all started with Ringo just having a good time.
Nice. When you're going to write a song, if the drums were your first love, do you write on drums, or do you go to piano, or do you go to guitar? Where do you go first to write?
It's always different. It's really always different. But you get different kinds of inspiration with different instruments. You get different kinds of inspirations the way that you play certain instruments. Drums, you know, when I hop behind drums and there's like, I'd start playing and then suddenly I'm not even hearing what I'm playing on the drums. It's something that would like go on top of the drums. It's like drums, like, of course it lends itself towards the rhythmic aspect of music. Whereas piano, you might be, you know, exploring harmony. Guitar might be like a good like bass for something like a vocal melody to go on top of. It's really all over the place. And I, you know, Going towards each one as a starting point lends itself to different songs.
I get you. So it's more whatever inspires you at that moment. Like you get the idea, then you just go grab an instrument.
And it does really have to be in that moment, because there's actually one song I'm working on right now where like I was in the shower and it all just came to me. And I just started humming. I started like grooving. I started like hearing the vocal melody. Like I heard, you know, every element like going on. I was like, I need to rush out of the shower, whether I'm dripping wet or not. Like I need to go make this demo. And at those points, those are just like the best songs just kind of seem to come out of those moments where it's really just momentary. It's not necessarily meant to be timeless. It can really just be like a perfect, just like, yes, that's how I feel in that moment right then. And that's, I just find there's really something more authentic, more not visceral, but like human about the writing songs that way.
I couldn't agree more.
So go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Tom. No, go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to say, you just said that there. So when people hear your music, what is the one of the things you're hoping will be the first thing that they engage or pay attention to, either the music itself, the lyrics, or an engagement? Are you hoping, what are you hoping for in the music? Because each artist has a different view of how their listeners are going to hear their music. It's a tough question, I know.
It's a tough question because, I mean, different songs make you feel different ways. But one thing that I do love giving to people is, you know, sometimes it's an escape. It's like you get lost in the music. You just kind of start listening. Like you're not even looking out your eyes. You're just kind of like immersed in the song. But other times, just like you just want to have that stank face and you want to just be grooving and moving your head and like, you know, tapping your toes, whatever. It's like, I guess the whole thing is just getting lost in the music and for, you know, forgetting about like the moment, because music is so universal and it can create such real feelings when you hear a certain song about a certain subject. It's like it takes you back to a different time. Or it takes you to a time that you wish you could, you know, transform the current time into. But with my songs, I mean, I've been trying to write from my own personal point of view with my own experiences, just as a lot of, you know, incredible artists have turned their own lives, you know, and interpreted their own experiences into their art. It's just, and through their art, I'm able to understand more of how I'm feeling about my own life. And I hope that people could listen to one of my songs and be like, oh, I kind of understand myself a little more now, hearing the way that you've explored your own life.
Very cool. Yeah, that's a good, actually good answer. Very experienced veteran type answer.
You know, I've heard that you have a gift that I've always wanted to know, is it a gift or a curse? I hear you have perfect pitch, and I can see how wonderful that could be, but I could also see how that could be a curse when the singer is flat every time. You're trying to say, hey, man, you're flat. And he's like, no, I'm not. So is it more of a curse or more of a gift?
It's hard to say because, you know, the main comparison that people with perfect pitch give for people without perfect pitch is being able to see color. Not everybody can see color. There are colorblind people. But when you look at a color, like you look at this wall behind me and you're like, that's slightly blue. It's not a royal blue, it's not navy, it's like a slightly baby blue, like really, really subtle. And for me, that's kind of like what notes are like. It's not necessarily like, or what chords are like. You just kind of pick up on certain things, and it's both a gift and a curse because you really know what's truly amazing, what's truly perfect. It's like when you listen to like great harmonies, you know, really talented singers doing great harmonies, you really appreciate it that much more. But when, you know, when someone's just constantly just kind of like slightly off the mark, it's just like, but everyone else is like, no, they're feeling it. It's just like, well, it's just that those few cents, like maybe if it was just a little more, you know, but like, right. I mean, some people like going back to color, like, you know, like some people like know how to like really like hone in on a good color palette for like a room. Like they get, you know, pictures and art for a room and chairs and like it all, they're able to make it all go together. And that is complete gibberish to me, but that seems much more, you know, attainable for other people. Music is just one of those things that just like, it just all kind of comes together and I'm able to make it all fit, I guess.
Yes. And you got the ear, you're like me, you can hear things that other people can't hear. And then when you try to explain it to people, they just look at you with the deer in headlights look sometimes. And it's just like, but it happens. This one might be a different question than I've ever asked out of it, but so from your Voice in American Idol experience, what is one takeaway that has helped you since that time to today in improving on what you've done in music? If you had to take one takeaway from it.
With those two shows, they really are TV shows as much as it would be, you know, perfect for them to be like truly competitions where the company like really, you know, takes the time and the investment of really developing an artist and a singer, you know. It's just those shows are just, that's not what those shows are for.
Yeah,
they're
TV. Yeah.
Providing entertainment, which I mean is great, and it does give singers a little bump and just like, oh, who's this person? This person has a nice voice. This person has a great talent. Like if it's America's Got Talent, it's like a great talent that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. But I mean, it's not really like the game changer that it was for, like Kelly Clarkson is really an exception because it was the first season of American Idol, and I think they really just had something, really wanted to give it their best shot for one artist. And of course, Kelly's gone on to do great things. She has her own show now. But I've never seen any other artist that has had that kind of success purely based on what the show has done for the artist. Now, the exception, like one exception, Adam Lambert, Queen saw Adam Lambert, Brian May and Roger Taylor saw him and were like, why don't we take you on the road and sing with Queen? And he's, of course, had great success with that. Chris Daughtry didn't win the competition, but he worked hard and he had a good, I think he had at least one good hit, and he has had a good career. But really, it's you can't depend on the shortcuts. I think when I was first doing those shows, I was expecting like, oh, well, these shows, I mean, these are getting broadcast nationally. It's just like that's a no-brainer. Like I'll get in front of these judges and I'll, you know, my career will just skyrocket. But like, it's really, you know, it's a great experience. You get to meet a lot of great people, the judges, the contestants, the TV executives, all those people. But really it's about the hard work before and after going on competitions like that. Cause even ABBA went on Eurovision, which, mm-hmm. you know, there's been like the Eurovision like curse where like artists really haven't seen any success after having competed, but ABBA really worked outside of the show and they really didn't blow up outside of, you know, like due to the competition. They blew up in Australia first, and then they blew up in Europe, and then America. Like it really takes the work and the talent, the catalog, like all that stuff to really make a worthwhile career. It can't really be all shortcuts.
Now, if I had artists like you that thought like that, and all my record labels, I'd have an easy job. Just so you know, because most everyone in the industry doesn't quite view everything that concisely, and it is what it is. But I agree, the shows are entertainment. They are a TV show. They're great for entertainment. Some people, you're right, the networking is incredible for most of the artists, but the end result, you're right, the only one that really had any massive success was Kelly Clarkson. But let's look at Kelly can sing like there's no tomorrow. I don't know many people can beat her in vocals, and she was an unusual phenomena at the time, and again, you're right, since then, Chris Daughtry, speaking of that, I have five songs of his in my playlist daily. So Chris is amazing. You're right, didn't win, but an amazing talent. Adam Lambert, God, but you're right. Everything you've mentioned, clearly I couldn't have said it any better. I don't think Mark and myself could have said that any better than the whole statement. So thank you for making that one easy for us. also, another one I would like to say, if you could pick one artist or band or an artist, either or, that is dead or alive, that you could have could play with, who would it be? Another tough question. I love these.
I mean, just to pick one. I mean, there's a ton, but I would be remiss to not say Paul McCartney. I mean, Paul has had such an indescribable, incalculable impact on my life. You know, he's just his story. Of course, he started with the Beatles, and he made some incredible music, you know, with them. But then after the greatest band of all time splits up, he decides to put together another band just because he loves playing music.
Yeah.
And he made Wings. He had many more great hits with Wings, and then Wings broke up. He lost his you know, his songwriting partner. He lost the love of his life, Linda. And throughout all of that, he just loved the music so much that he kept making it, and he still had hits. Ever since Wings broke up, he still had solo hits, and he's still going. I mean, 60 plus years down the line, he's just an incredible inspiration. And just to be able to meet him and just to thank him, but let alone to get to make some, you know, make some music with him, that would just be a dream.
Yeah, Paul's just one of him, Elton John, Meatloaf. Were probably the biggest influences that were in the modern setting, other than Elvis, that impacted the reason I went into music. And yeah, McCartney, incredible songwriter, incredible singer, incredible performer, entertainer, you name it, he was it. So that's a darn good pick. I know Mark, I've monopolized most of that time. You guys have more to.
Well, no, you know, I've been enjoying the conversation so much. On the subject of, you know, past and present, I know you're a phenomenal guitar player. If you could play with someone, you know, all the guitar players, past, present, who would you like to play with?
As a guitarist or as a drummer?
As a guitarist first, then as a drummer.
Okay. As a guitarist, as much as I like playing lead, I think I would want to be a rhythm guitarist for a much better lead guitarist. And if I were to pick one, I mean, there's so many. David Gilmour comes to mind first. He's just, I mean, he knows how to get so much life out of one note. And of course it takes an incredible tone to do that, but it's something that he's carved out himself. And like, he's learned to express himself. Like I've heard him say in interviews that he doesn't really know how to express himself like linguistically, but he's able to do so with his guitar and express such emotion and such depth with that instrument. And I would love to play alongside him. And I love, you know, of course I love all the work that he's put out with Pink Floyd and on his own and all that stuff. I would love to collaborate with him. But as a drummer, if I were to play drums with a guitarist out front, I would probably want someone like really fun. Cause I, of course, one of my biggest inspirations as a drummer is John Bonham.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would probably have to say Jimmy Page, because I think Jimmy loves that Bonzo would write to his guitar parts. Of course, Immigrant Song, like the drums are like perfectly synced up with the guitar riff. And I mean, and of course, Jimmy's just so creative, and he, you know, he wasn't just a one trick pony. He loved doing different tunings, different styles. I mean, and it all came from this really just original. I mean, that's probably maybe debatable, but like, he just made such an incredible sound, and I would love to just be able to play drums behind it.
Wow,
amazing picks. I understand you're only 22, but you'd still talk like you're an old soul. So one of the questions,
I mean, just said Jimmy Page.
Not many.
You know, last guy is Nirvana. You know, yeah. It's Stone Temple Pilots. No disrespect to them. He came out with Jimmy Page. He's 22.
Yes. Now, if what advice would you give someone who is starting to that is early on starting into their career going into music and looking at trying to think, what would you think would be the first piece of advice you would give somebody walking into wanting to get into the music, doing music?
Well, it really depends on how far music is how far you're intending on music to go. Because at a certain point, it becomes the music business. The music business, they are not the same thing, but they have to go hand in hand somehow. But I mean, at the end of the day, it really has to stem from love of the music. Because if you love what you're doing and you love the music that you make, that's going to come across. And the business people who want to invest in you will come along and they will do the best they can to help you. And I mean, it's much easier for a business-minded musician to make it farther, but like there's a lot of really incredible musicians who need that person to help them navigate to get that far where you can really make it a sustainable career. I just watched something on Clive Davis, and of course he transformed Whitney Houston's life, and Whitney just had an incredible voice. But Clive Davis was there to say, like, you need a hit song. And it doesn't necessarily have to be written by you. It just has to be, when you sing it, it just has to be your song. And I remember they were talking about, I want to dance with somebody. And Clive was saying, that could have been a great Olivia Newton-John song. Like, she would have sung it great. It would have been a nice song. But, like, Whitney just, the way that Whitney interacts with that song, with the lyrics, with the melody, and her tastes, and her, just the way that she sings it. It feels like her song. You would have no idea that somebody else wrote that song, not intended for Whitney. Like, it really takes having that business mind and being able to brand yourself and like figure out who you are. From an outsider's perspective, you may know who you are, like from internally, but it really takes having a clear, like, this is who I am. If you can write it down in one sentence, then you start leaning into that, creating with that, and then giving that to people and being like, this is who I am. You don't have to guess. Here I am. And as long as you love who you are, then you just keep doing it, and you find the right people eventually. And it is a lifelong journey. Of course, I'm saying that as a 22-year-old, but I'm still going through the journey. But it's an incredible one, and I feel very blessed that I've had the chance and the fortune to be able to pursue this.
Now, your answer there is unlike. Now, remember, we have Mark and myself have interns that are the ages of 18 to 30. We do 35 of them every semester. Your answer to that question is nowhere near on the same plane. You sound like us when you talk, literally, as in you have that life understanding of music, the way in the industry, the way it is. And at the same time, I'll tell you one of the things is I hope when we do our round table coming up on one of the shows this year, because we're going to do it with a lot of people in the industry and have this round table talk about the industry. I hope that you will show up for that because that, granted, the rest of the crowd may be older, but your answers and understanding of that is clearly a long past everybody's grade group, 100%. It's one of the things that I love about having conversations with you because you have an understanding of everything that it is into the music end of it, understanding the difference between music and the business side of it, which is one of the tough things of trying to teach people in the industry is understanding it's a business. And that is one of the reasons we want to have that round table is to discuss that and about the industry and how it's a business versus it's a, either you're doing this part time and is something for fun, or you're doing it for a business, as in you are trying to literally do something and make money off of it, as well make a living into it. I always say there's being famous and being a good musician are two different things, 100% two different jobs. And a lot of people don't understand, but that, I gotta say, that's probably one of the first I've heard in a long time actually say it sounds like, it really sounded like an answer I'd give. So my congratulations and hats off to you there, Griffin.
Thank you.
Well, what my partner is saying, if we started this by saying an old soul, and I've just been blown away by your responses because they are unlike a lot of your contemporaries. It gives me hope, and I wish you nothing but great success. And if there's anything Tom or I can do to help you along the way, just let it be known. You don't have to even ask. Just let it be known that it's necessary, and I'll do everything I can to help you because I'd love to see you win. You want people of character to be the ones that are winning, and your answers speak to your character, and that's the thing that's most impressive. Thank you.
You are very kind. I appreciate your kind words.
Yeah, anything we can do to ever help you, Griffin, let us know. I know I monopolized your time a bit, so you know, it's been great having you. We definitely like you to come back. I would love for you to do that round table with
Please.
Us. It would be interesting. You know, again, I wanted to have a break across the different people from different parts of the industry, all in that round table to discuss the industry as a whole and moving forward in the industry. So it would be something I'd love to have you be a part of. Music wise, you know, I'd love to hear some new stuff you got coming on anytime. I wish
Absolutely.
You the best in 2024. And yeah, you know, it's always a joy having you.
Absolutely. I'm definitely hoping to have something new, by the end of this year. There's nothing is determined yet, but I'm hoping to have something new.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.